The Daily.
Lots of people hate it for entirely different reasons.
Monday to Thursday with Dave Hodgson.
He's crazy. He is dangerous.
And we're heading off now to speak to Antonio Flores from Lawbird Legal Services. How are you, Antonio?
Hello, Dave. How are you? Very well.
Yeah, you sound like you're in a cave there, mate.
I'm just coming out of the cave, yeah.
How are you getting on? You're coming out of lockdown now, and there's lots of things kind of restarting up again, Antonio, aren't they?
Pretty much everything, you know. I'd say, yesterday was a day with no deaths from coronavirus, which is actually fantastic news.
Yeah.
Still very sad for all the people who've passed away, but, it's now pretty much, COVID-free. I mean, Spain's almost a country COVID-free. You know, there's still a lot of people infected, but there are very few people in intensive care. Mm. So in line with this, what's happening in the legal world is that everything's opening up.
Yeah.
Okay. So litigation deadlines are resuming on Thursday, 4th of June, which is next, a couple of days from today.
Yeah.
Okay.
What does that mean?
So effectively everything starts all over again in terms of the courts, you know. There's going to be still some limitations in terms of verbal, oral hearings and so on, where the courts will try to limit these, or if they can, do them online.
Yeah.
But otherwise, what they're trying to do is bring back the normality, even if it's a face mask normality.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. 2 meter distance.
Now, also importantly, August. You know, August has traditionally been a holiday period for the courts. Well, this has changed now, and Spanish lawyers will only have 10 days of holidays, which is between the 1st and the 11th of August.
Okay.
The rest of August will be a normal working sort of period.
Is that because there's a backlog, Antonio?
Well, because there's a backlog, and I think because also, in a way, there is an understanding that the quarantine has been, in a way, holidays as well. Okay, well, there's various factors. You know, it's a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's a bit awkward to go on holidays when they've not been able to work and raise it and make any money.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that lawyers are pretty much by definition self-employed people, at least all the bosses, and there's a lot of solo practitioners. So, these people have to go back to work because they've not been able to do so. They've not been able to get new clients. They've not been able to do normal legal work. So 10 days is what they consider to be, acceptable the rest of the time. Still, they have recommended that hearings are limited in August as much as possible and that writs and other legal submissions for the period between the 11th and the 31st of August are notified before the 15th of June. Basically, what they're saying is, okay, you still have to work, but if you can get some work out of the way beforehand, then so be it.
Yeah.
I think in a way they're trying to make August a holiday month, but not ostensibly showing it.
Yeah.
I think it doesn't make, it wouldn't look good to the courts. Say, okay, it's holiday now, August, fantastic, with what's been going on.
Yeah, so. But the mindset in Spain, August, not just for courts, but for everything, August is a holiday month.
Yeah, I mean, of course, unless you work in a restaurant, in which case it's just the other way around.
Yeah, exactly.
For professionals, yes, correct, correct, yes.
And what's the administrative deadlines? And that's resuming from Monday the 1st of June.
Okay, so, for example, if you've had a fine, you want to appeal a fine, or you are in the middle of some administrative procedure, you've got a license, you've got planning permission for a villa, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The deadlines are starting. I've started already on Monday, 1st of June.
Okay.
So, all the professionals who are dealing with them would know, but maybe some people who are dealing with things themselves, dealing with these more smaller and easier procedures, they would need to be aware that if they do not know about this, they could lose their right to obtain, relief on certain issues which they may be dealing with.
You mentioned about fines as well, because I know some people who are really unhappy about some of the fines that they've received over the lockdown period, and they're able now to take that further, maybe.
Okay, well, this is a very, very interesting subject, because there's probably close to 1 million fines that have been passed all around Spain. And a lot of legal, a lot of people from the legal world say that they may be illegal, okay, right. Because they consider that the lockdown may be in itself illegal, okay. So I think there's a bit of ambulance chasing there as well,
yeah.
If I may say yes, so. Yeah, I'm a lawyer myself, but I think there is a bit of that as well. You know, if a country decrees there is a lockdown and you do not comply with the lockdown and you get a fine, well, so be it. Now, yeah. For you to try to challenge that, you'd probably have to go to some constitutional tribunal procedure. And that, I think, it's long, you know, for the sake of a few hundred euros, I think you're going to end up paying much more. Different thing is if there is a collective action by law firms and, you know, they can see some success, and of course they go on a no-win, no-fee basis, in which case, you know, that's fine, you know, it's not a big deal. Anyone can join. But, you know, some fines are pretty hefty, and it's about thousands of euros for some people. So it's worth considering. It's worth considering.
Absolutely, yeah. Immigration then, Antonio.
Okay, this is an interesting one. You know, imagine you came from, you know, with your visa, came from India, or from Japan, or from, you know, any country, and you know, you're going to stay here for 10 days. All of a sudden, you can't return.
Yeah.
So all these people were very concerned because they were thinking they were overstaying. Okay, some countries, non-visa countries, don't have so much of an issue, but visa countries such as, for example, someone from Morocco or someone from India or someone from, you know, I'll say Mexico, some countries which require a proper visa on your passport. Say, for example, it was a 10-day visa. They've been here for 3 months now. So they were worried, what's going to happen to us? So the government has now issued a rule where anyone who's been forced to overstay in Spain will have, from the last day of the lockdown, 3 months to leave Spain.
Okay? Which will be the state of alarm, which looks like it's going to be extended again.
Yes, yeah. It's looking like 21st of June. So they'll have for 3 more months.
Yeah.
So, and you know, the authorities, and I've been talking to border control police in both Madrid and Barcelona, they've said they're going to be very flexible. Okay. So they're not going to be looking at the specific word of the law, you know, with a lot of strictness, but they're going to be pretty much flexible to
right,
you know, because it's a situation. Yeah. Yeah, of course. Now, you also have situations of people who have been stranded abroad, the other way around. People who were residents of Spain and could not return to Spain.
Yeah.
Because, for example, their residency cards had expired or whatever. So these people will have 6 months from the end of the state of alarm to return to Spain to do the paperwork.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this does not apply to European Union people because they pretty much can stay in Spain whether they do or they don't have a residency certificate. So, you know. It doesn't really affect them.
What about British? Like, still under the transition period?
Yeah. Still transition. Yeah. Still considered to be community or European Union citizens. So now receive food for the rest of the year. Of course.
Yeah, yeah. So, so if you basically went away for a while and then got stuck somewhere else, you can come back into the country and sort your paperwork out.
That is correct. Yeah. Yes, I mean you can return. I mean, there's some rules as to how that will happen, but effectively you can come with your expired residency card, which, you know, you would not be able to use in any other circumstance, but you go to the border and they'll just allow you to come in to deal with it. So they've become quite flexible in that respect.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Yeah, it's good. And I should imagine now, you know, turning back to some sort of normality. I mean, we see it on the streets, Antonio. You know, people obviously... things are going to go wrong again and people are going to need lawyers again. So you guys have been up and running all through this, I know, but people can come and see you, can't they, and get in touch?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what we're seeing is there is some degree of some level of litigation or potential litigation on rental agreements. You know, we do discourage, if possible, for, you know, tenant and landlord to go to court.
Yeah.
We always encourage them, the contrary, to actually try to resolve their situation, you know, with a bit of understanding and flexibility on both parts. But, you know, we are seeing a lot of tenants who have decided not to pay during the lockdown because they consider that, you know, with the situation, they, you know, they should be exempt from paying anything.
Yeah.
Of course, landlord has the same problem. You know, I mean, they may have payments to make, and all of a sudden the tenant doesn't want to pay. So that is a potential source of conflict, yeah. Which we shall see how that goes as soon as the courts resume activity. But, you know, those sort of specifically those groups of litigation cases, we try to always use mediation rather than litigation.
Okay. Yeah, and while the state of alarm's still on, am I right in saying that people cannot be thrown out of their property as a third tenant?
That is correct, yes. Still, for example, any specific eviction order by a court would be stayed. I mean, most cases, we would be talking about any definitive or formal eviction order which was issued by courts within that period of time, or to take effect during that period of time between the 15th of March and the 21st of June. For that period of time, any person who was due to be, you know, taken out of their homes, shoved out by the police, effectively, which is what happens, they have been protected. Now, that will start all over again. You know, so the moment the state of alarm is finished, then that will return to normality.
Yeah, okay.
But fortunately or unfortunately, depends on which side you're on.
Yeah, I've heard of people as well that have been, they've been fired, not fired from their jobs, but basically they've been told they're not coming back. There's going to be a few issues there, don't you think, as well?
Yeah, I mean, but when you say you're not coming back...
Well, I think that it's been used as an excuse to kind of either get rid of people or, you know, and I know that am I right to say you legally can't fire somebody under the state of alarm at the moment?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, a lot of people have been furloughed because of this. They are protected by the law.
Yeah.
Okay, so they can't be sacked within 6 months from the moment they go back to work. Okay, because what we'll see is that a lot of companies who are forced to take back people may be tempted to dismiss them because they don't have any business.
Yeah.
Well, the government did pass a regulation saying they couldn't be dismissed within 6 months.
That could also cripple some businesses, couldn't it?
I have to say that already 350,000 people have gone back to work, according to the latest statistics, which is pretty good. I'm talking about people who were on temporary redundancy, they were furloughed.
Yeah.
So these people have gone back to work. Still, there's probably around 1.5 million who are, waiting to come back. I mean, that will happen as soon as... There's a lot of restaurants haven't actually opened yet because they haven't got terraces.
Yeah.
So that is a matter of, the more the remain closed, the worse. What is probably a good thing is that summer is coming, so in a way, they'll probably be able to open. I mean, this would probably be worse if we were looking at September, October, November.
Yeah.
But I do hope that as soon as July allows flights to come in and people start booking, because Andalusia is the region in Europe with more demand for tourism post COVID. So,
is that right?
That's good news for us. Good news for this part of Spain. But it won't be very different. Valencia, the Balearics, Canary Islands especially as well. Just try to go back to normality, really.
What's your thoughts? Do you think I've been involved in the wedding industry, and I know that really there's a lot of people with weddings, it's a little bit different because you can't just restart a wedding, whereas you could probably book a last minute holiday, couldn't you? Do you think it's going to be do you think July and August it's going to I think July is going to be tentative and then August is going to be hectic?
It depends on prices.
Yeah.
It depends on, because apparently, I've not looked, but I believe that package holidays are being sold very cheap now to encourage people to come back. Always, flights permitting, of course, because that's the other very important condition, condition to tourism. But I think August, a lot of people cancelled already. A lot of people cancelled, but they did not demand refunds, for a number of reasons. Some because they think that, they should be helping these companies as well and not send them even more to bankruptcy. And a lot of people because they do want to fulfill their holidays. So I do know that a lot of people are coming down. We've also have people asking for some advice for temporary rental contracts. They want to come on holidays, holiday lets, effectively. So I think there's going to be some kind of rebound effect.
Yeah, but I'm quite, I don't know about you, I want the tourists to come for the sake of the businesses here, of course. But I'm kind of enjoying, although I got stuck in traffic for the first time yesterday in San Pedro.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not missing all the extra rental cars and the tourists, you know, blocking the road. So
that's true. I'm sure
on your bike as well, Antonio, you know, the last thing you want is all the rental cars coming and knocking you flying each time, you know. So there is some benefits to it.
Especially, let me tell you, people who come from right-hand drive countries.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, are you taking the kids on the beach yet?
I haven't, but my partner has. Yeah. Yesterday was the first day. So
this weekend,
again, you know, the beaches are pretty empty.
Do you know what I think, Antonio? And this is the difference between the British and the Spanish. You watch, you know, they're under lockdown. You look at Brighton Beach. A photo of Brighton Beach in England, and it's absolutely packed. And here, I went to a beach, and it was about 500 metres long beach near Alfaro, and there's probably seven or eight families out of 500 metres, and it was, you know, there's not a lot of silliness going on. It just seems to be quite sensible at the moment.
You know, what one of the aspects, I mean, the Spanish mentality is a mentality where you do respect the authority, but you especially respect armed police.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
You never fight with police in Spain.
No.
Whereas in the UK, I see that it's quite common to argue with police. So there is a different dynamic in respect to how you relate to those situations. In Spain, if you have a police saying you've got to go, you go. You do not argue.
Exactly.
Okay? It's not in the mentality of. Maybe it's because of the imposing, feature of the gun. Yeah.
You don't want to learn the hard way, do you? That's for sure. Antonio,
exactly.
If anybody wants to get in touch with you, how can they do so?
Well, they can do so by email on info@lawbird.com, or they can also do by telephone 952-861890.
Lovely. Antonio, stay safe, and we'll speak again soon, my friend.
Dave, it's a big pleasure to talk to you once again.
Cheers, Antonio. Bye-bye.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Antonio Flores.